So Ephesians chapter 2 in our Bibles this evening, we were reminded last week that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God goes on to say here in chapter 2 and verse 11 of Ephesians, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God." So I'm entitled it, "But Now in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our lives. Teach us and grow us through it. Meet with us now. We love you and just thank you for how good you are to us. And we pray that each of us would come with expectant hearts and you would do a mighty work in each of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what God is showing us here is what we've gone from and what we've gone to. And, you know, in verse 1, we're reminded that before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But beyond that, so many other things God is telling us here that we were before we were saved. In verse 11, the Bible says that we were called uncircumcision. In other words, we were not part of God's family. We were outside of God's family. Go over to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, and we'll see that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. The circumcision he's talking about here is a spiritual circumcision. Colossians 2, 11 explains that. It says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." God separates us. When our flesh is crucified at salvation, it becomes separated from our spirit, and God gives us that spiritual circumcision. But prior to salvation, we didn't have that. We were part of the devil's family. Now we're part of God's family. And then he goes on to say in our passage, Ephesians 2, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens. So we, again, talking about the family of God, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Aliens and strangers, it says. So we were not part of God's family. We were aliens, we were strangers. In verse 19, it says strangers and foreigners outside of the family of God. Because it takes salvation to change that. Go to Romans chapter 9 and we'll see that. Romans chapter 9. Again, explaining here in Romans 9. I think someone asked a question recently in Sunday school about us becoming a spiritual part of Israel, which is exactly what happens at salvation. But notice Romans 9, 4. "Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises." But notice verse 8. "That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." So prior to salvation, we were part of the uncircumcision. We were aliens. We were strangers. We were foreigners. We were outside of the family of God. And of course, after we got saved, the Bible says, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." In John 1:12, we become part of God's family. But prior to salvation, we were outside of that family. He goes on to say in our passage, verse 12, having no hope. Before we were saved, we were not only uncircumcision, aliens, and strangers and foreigners, but we were without hope. Which is a good description of the world, isn't it? Having no hope. 1 Thessalonians, if we return there, chapter 4, and talking just prior to talking about the rapture here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, God uses this phrase to describe the unsaved world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And outside of Christ, we have no hope. The world has no hope. They're looking for it, but there is only one true hope, and that is salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, 1 Peter 1:3 says, hath begotten us again into a lively hope. We've been begotten into a lively hope, a hope that is real and alive, the hope of salvation, the hope of heaven with God. But before we found Christ, we were outside of the family of God, and we had no hope. And this, just to drive it home in verse 12 of our passage, it says, without God. Without God in the world. It's a good description, isn't it, of what we were before we were saved. Not part of God's family, having no hope, and without God in the world. Go to Galatians 4, if you would, in verse 8. Galatians 4, verse 8. Again, talking about being without God. This words it a bit differently. It says, Galatians 4, 8, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. So, when you knew not God, we were without God and we didn't know God. And doesn't Jesus say in Matthew 7, there are going to be some that come to heaven and he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. You have to know Christ. That's why John says in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Before we were saved, we were strangers and uncircumcision and aliens. We had no hope. We were without God. And notice verse 13 of our passage, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. So not only were we without hope and without God, but we were far off. You know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're not saved, you're far off the mark. You have no hope. You're without God. You're outside God's family. You're far off. Go to Romans 5:10. Which elaborates on this a little bit. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. It says, for if, when ye were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So we were enemies of God. We were far off. That's the bad news. But then God gives us the good news. He says, yeah, those were all true. Those were things. And that's what the whole chapter's about, right? Chapter 2, verse 1. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And then he goes on to say, we were aliens and we were strangers and we were without God and without hope and we were far off. But now, verse 13, we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's all been changed. It's all different. Because of Jesus, we're now made nigh. We were afar off, now we're made nigh. Now we're close to the Lord. Romans 5:10 says, we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Now we have been made nigh. The Bible says in Colossians 1:21, we were sometimes alienated and enemies, yet now hath He reconciled. So we're not far off anymore. Now we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then, of course, verse 14 talks about peace. Before we were saved, we had no peace. Not only not in ourselves, but we had no peace with God. We were God's enemy. But the Bible says Jesus not only gives us peace, in verse 14 it says He is our peace. Jesus is our peace. And the Bible says in Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God now. Go to Colossians 1:20. And we have peace because Jesus Christ made it available through His sacrifice. Colossians 1:20, if you would turn over there. He is our peace. Notice the Bible says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. And He reconciled all things unto Himself. So Jesus Christ has not only made us nigh by His blood, but He also became our peace. And notice it says in our passage, verse 14, and He made both one. He made us part of something when we got saved. It's called the body of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. He made us one. Go to Galatians 3:28. Where again, we're reminded that we have been made one through Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. He made both one. So those of us that were dead and alienated and without hope and without God, we've been made nigh. We've been given peace with God, and we've been made one. Verse 14 of our passage, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. What this passage is saying is, Jesus removed the barrier of the law. When God tore that veil from top to bottom, He was saying that not only that the way was now available to the Holy of Holies, but He was also telling us that the law had been abolished. Now, this confuses a lot of people. The Bible does not teach that the Old Testament is obsolete. We need it. It tells us so much about Jesus and prepares us for what's coming and lays everything out. But the law was nailed to the cross. And we as believers in Jesus Christ are bound to keep Christ's law, Christ's commandments. But the law was nailed to the cross. The law was given to be our schoolmaster, to lead us to Christ. And this is told many times. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. It's saying that He broke down that wall and He abolished. I mean, this is what the Bible says. He abolished the law of commandments. He abolished it. And Colossians 2, 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. I know a lot of people want to cling onto the Ten Commandments. But it's okay, because Jesus actually repeated nine of them when He gave His law. There was only one that He left out. And He left it out because it was Jewish, and that was the Sabbath. But He repeated all of the other nine of the Ten Commandments, and gave us a lot more commandments, like love one another as I have loved you. And we could go on and on. But are we bound to sacrifice animals? Are we bound to those dietary laws? No. It's been nailed to the cross. Now it's there to teach us about God's holiness and His nature, but it's been abolished. It's been, as we see here in Colossians 2:14, nailing it to His cross. And then He goes on to say, go to Hebrews 10:9. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. That He took it away. The law of commandments. Notice Hebrews 10:9. Then he said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." The first what? The first law. He took it away. He nailed it to the cross, that he might establish the second. The first testament. Why is it called a testament? It takes the death of a testator. That happened at Calvary. Now we have a new testament. Again, when did that become in effect? It became in effect when the testator came and gave it to us and then died for us. So he took out the first that he might establish the second. And you know, when John tells us this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, God wants us to keep Jesus' commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. But he nailed it to the cross. And why did he do all that? Go back to our passage, verse 16, Ephesians 2, that he might reconcile. Praise God. Jesus Christ reconciled man to God. And that had not happened from the time that Adam and Eve were banned from the garden until Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Man could not be reconciled to God. Now, man could believe in God and place faith in God and receive salvation, but he still wasn't reconciled. The reconciliation didn't take place until Jesus died. And that's explained. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. This ministry of reconciliation from Jesus and then passed on to us. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:18. The Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So Jesus reconciled man to God, and now he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. When we share the gospel with someone and they get saved, they get reconciled. That's why it's called the ministry of reconciliation. Sin separates man from God. Jesus Christ paid for sin and offers the solution to that separation and offers reconciliation. So those of us that were strangers and foreigners and uncircumcised, without hope, without God, and far off, have been made nigh and given peace. We've been made one. We've had the law abolished, and we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And then notice in verse 18, "For through him we both have access." And again, I mentioned the veil of the temple in Jerusalem being torn from top to bottom. Up to that point, only the high priest was allowed in the Holy of Holies once a year to make offerings for the nation of Israel. The veil wasn't needed anymore. Now, every person who's been born again has access to the Holy of Holies. Not the one in Jerusalem, but the one in heaven, which we'll read about on Sunday night in Isaiah 6. We have access to the throne of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. That's why he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the way. He's the one that gives the access. And that's why he gives us that great promise. Go to Hebrews 4:15 about accessing his throne. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Where the Bible says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can come boldly under the throne of grace. Why? Because Jesus Christ has given us access through his blood. You can't access the Holy of Holies unless you have the blood of Christ applied. But we have that access, those of us that have been saved. And then he finishes in verse 19 by saying that we are no more strangers and foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. And we'll talk more about this next week. But we've been made fellow citizens. We've been made a family. We're not only a body, but we're a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ through what Jesus did. Now go to Galatians 3 again, if you would, in verse 28, where God talks about this. We mentioned this verse before, but let's look at it in a different light. Galatians 3:28, the Bible says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And while you're in Galatians, look at chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Who's that? Fellow citizens. We become part of a new household, the household of faith. And again, we'll expound upon that a bit next week. But we are now fellow citizens through what Jesus did. Part of the general assembly and church of the firstborn, as we're told in Hebrews chapter 12. So praise God for all these amazing things that he did the day we got saved. All the things he took us from and all these things he took us to because of Jesus. Now in Christ Jesus, all this was done for us. We're very blessed. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your